I can do it, but I've been praying for him all week, so I think somebody else is praying. I'm worn out. He wore me out.
Thank you, God, for just an amazing creation and a day and a world and just all the amazing, beautiful things that you have before us. Please help us to realize and comprehend not just the physical beauty, but just all the spiritual wonder that you have at our fingertips if we want to take hold of it. So please speak to us through this message from Steve so that we can try to access some of that today. And be blessed by the words coming out of his mouth. And give him peace while he's doing it.
Thank you.
Good morning. I have to preface this with a couple things. A week ago Friday, we went to a concert over in Portland. We shared a little bit about it last week. But one of the songs that they sang at the end, the last one, was Make Me Brave. And I've been singing that for like 24 hours. And Leo, I don't want to pick on you, but contrary to what you believe, this is not my comfort zone. You may think it is, but it's not. I feel blessed to be able to like be asked by Malcolm to share and for the Lord to give me a word. I was talking to a man on, two men on Friday, and one of them said, like when you do your messages, do you like it just comes off your head through your heart through the Holy Spirit? And I said, yeah, it does that, but it's not spur of the moment; it's over time. So the message is over time that I'm going to share with you today. And the second thing is, I talked to another man. He said that he couldn't do that. He couldn't do what I'm doing. And I said, why not? He said, I mean, this is kind of interesting. He said, because of sin. I'm going like, don't get the idea that whoever's standing up here is this perfect man, because we're not any more perfect than anybody else, or imperfect, whatever the case may be. And finally, talked to a guy this morning, and he gave me a kind of a little revelation for this message. He said that Jesus has given us a new heart and a new spirit to be able to deal with whatever the message is. If it's it's all for edification. It's not a critical thing. It's not a judgmental thing. Any message that we get up here is for our hearts and our spirits to grow. So we have a new spirit. And the song John had about at the cross, it's all at the cross. And our imperfections and our messed up lives or anything, it's still at the foot of the cross. We leave it at the foot of the cross. And I come to you with passion, compassion, humility, love, and encouragement. Period. You know me, a lot of you know me, and you know my heart. And I have to say this finally, too, that because my message is about heart. I'll explain that in a minute. But things are happening in and outside the church. We have things we got to deal with and move on, but things are happening. So with that being said, I have some people who have agreed to read some scripture for me. And the first one is 1 Corinthians 12. I was going to have them read 1 through 31, but there's a couple I want to highlight. So whoever has 1 Corinthians 12, would you please stand up and read them aloud?
1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 6, I have to sing it.
Yeah. So we can hear you better.
Well, 4 to 6. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 6. Am I going to read all of these? 4 to 6, 11 to 12, 29 to 31.
It's only like four verses.
Okay.
You can handle that.
Okay, honey. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. And then 1 Corinthians 12, 11 to 12. are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. In 29 to 31, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts.
Thank you. That wasn't so bad, was it? Ephesians 4, 7, 8, and 11, and 13.
However, He has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when He ascended to the heights, He led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to His people. Ephesians 4, 11, 13. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ.
Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter 4, 10.
Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms.
Thank you, Roland. And the last one, Romans 12, 6. You got to wait for it to come out, bro.
Yeah. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, prophesy according to the portion of faith.
Okay, thank you, Noah. That wasn't so bad, huh? You did good. Well, the title of my message today is HOT, H-U-T, because it's football season and all that, and I can kind of relate to that. But it has to do with harmony, unity, and teamwork. And so you might say, well, why are we talking about the gifts if we're talking about harmony and unity and teamwork? And that is what the message is going to relate to. I'm also going to say this, that there's going to come a point in time where I'm going to say, you want me to keep going, and if you don't want me to, it's okay to say, let's take a break. Because sometimes Malcolm will do that. And he said, okay, if I keep going, everyone's going to like, I hope that's how we feel. But if, because sometimes...
What are you trying to say, Steve?
Sometimes I get carried away because this is stuff that builds up and builds up. And it's like everything happens, you know, during the week. You write it all down and you want to share it. When I was on the school board, Bob Bellavance, he was a great man. And the first time I went to a meeting, he had a stack of stuff like that high. And we left at 1:30 in the morning. And we had started the meeting at 7. So, and we always based on, like, the length of the message, I mean, the length of the meeting was going to be based on how high the stack was. I've only got a couple pages here, so. But anyway, today's term is a message is related to a football term, which quarterbacks use to alert the center and his players that it's time to snap the ball. But it's harmony, unity, and teamwork. These three words, it seems like, have been the focus of the local churches within the last few years. And they generated some interesting discussion, some controversy, and some time to get together with other churches and with other people. The gentleman I talked to this morning said there is harmony, unity, and teamwork, even though within the body and within the bigger body, there's stuff, there is teamwork. And there is unity. He said part of that is you and I talking right now at 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. So I want to set a little, like kind of set the table and have a little open discussion here. I'd like you to help me out here and kind of give me what you think this hot thing means. You know, what is harmony? What is unity? What is teamwork? What are some of the words that come into your mind when you think of those three words?
You're asking us?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Using our gifts.
Using your gifts. That's good. I don't have that written down. That's good. Right. Perfect. Something else.
Sometimes part of you or part of the body hurts, and the other parts have to help out in getting there. Kind of prayer to prayer and through support.
Yeah, so helping each other out.
Just the definition of what harmony is singing. Well, I'm not a music major, but I think you're singing a different note, but that different note blends or makes the other notes that are being sung, it pulls together and makes it a better sound. Is that right?
I actually had a little note here to ask John and Melinda to define harmony. And I was going to ask Malcolm, I said, well, maybe he and I can come up and sing. And then we can talk about what harmony is. But in a nutshell, from a musical point of view, what is harmony?
Together.
Excuse me?
Together.
Yeah.
But being independent, not independent, but having your own gifts. Yeah. Having your own song to sing, have your own melody to combine.
It's a different, two different sounds that didn't blend together.
If you want to put it all together in football terms, it's no one man is a team. Mm-hmm. Each person has their own special gift that they have to use to win the game.
Yeah.
And I think the Lord is the quarterback, and the rest of us are linebacker and whatever.
You know, you can take, and I've done this before. Every position, I mean, we're talking athletically, there could be anywhere. Every position has a personality, a size. I mean, you don't have a 75-pound defensive tackle. He's got to weigh at least 300. So you have to have, but you can't have a whole bunch of 300-pound people. You've got to have a bunch of them.
Sort of an interesting parable.
I'll just say, when you talk about harmony, you relate it to football. I mean, you got to be in harmony. When you got somebody running down the field and you're letting that ball go 3 seconds before you know where it's going to land, and that person's actually catching the ball right where you threw it. Yeah. That's about as much harmony as you can have.
Yeah, you kind of know it.
If you're not connected that way, even though they're doing two different functions, you're going to miss that ball. And it's going to be way overthrown, way underthrown, or the person isn't running fast enough. You got to be in sync with each other.
Yeah. I used to love playing ball with my brother or my sons because we kind of had an unwritten rule that you knew, what they were going to do before they did it. I'm just going to read off some other things that I had written down. Agreement, order, peace, consistency, being open and honest and truly accountable to and for each other. Now here's one that was interesting. It says, Each one doing a part, but all subordinating personal prominence to the efficiency of the whole. That's kind of a little long-winded, but that's kind of what it means. Okay, now let's shift gear, John.
I think both with the music and the football, the part that's sort of interesting is there's an awful lot of discipline. There's a framework set up. You can't just harmonize with any note. You can't just run any route and expect the quarterback to get there.
Right.
There's a pretty strict framework saying, hey, this is how you get to harmony.
Right down to the note or whatever, or to the yard. I mean, if that's sort of the yard, you got to go at a 38.5-degree angle or whatever. now let's kind of flip this over a little bit. What doesn't hot mean? And what I mean by that is not the opposite of, but well, I'll give an example. Compromising the truth for the sake of unity. Let's get along, even though I'm going to go along with what you're doing and saying, and it's not true. So let's talk a little bit about that, because you can have unity without really having unity.
Yeah.
You see this shirt right here? I wore this on purpose. BJHS Unified Arts. That was our phys ed, music, art, all that stuff. And now look at the back.
What's it say?
Right, if you can't read it right off, then there's not harmony.
It's no.
I mean, if you get closer, you can. I'm going to talk about that later. But can everyone see that? It's kind of a mixed up mess, right? But right here, it's all nice and written out, and sometimes we can be like that. But anyway, so compromising the truth, you know, to have unity. You know, what other things can we do to have unity when we really don't have it?
Like, for instance, you saying if you want us to let you keep going, and everybody says, yeah, but a couple of us don't.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that.
I had an experience one time where, and I told you this before, but it fits in again. We had a conference, and this woman just kept talking and talking and talking, and I couldn't take it anymore. Finally, I said, can we take a break? And she said, oh, I get carried away with the time. I forgot about it. Go ahead. So I went outside, and every person, every adult in that classroom thanked me. Because they had to go to the bathroom. They had to get, nobody dared to say, I need a break. So, you know, without being obnoxious, say what you feel, I guess. So when you've had enough, say, can we take a break and do this, you know, continue this next week or whatever. But not being open and honest. You keep people at arm's length. And you can almost like feel that sometimes, that you're connected, but there's something not quite right. You avoid things, you enable, you pretend, surface harmony, oh, everything's working great. Like, I mean, even the worship team might sound wonderful, but they've got something going on, maybe personality conflicts or whatever. So they're performing, but they aren't really dealing with it. You're okay in a public setting. You're okay in a public setting like this, but you're seething or hurting on the inside. You know, this thing with the school, you know, we had this thing with the school where, you know, we were unified us, but we weren't. In many cases, we had a lot of issues and people they never dealt with them. Somebody died in your family, you've got flowers and a card. But, you know, the basic day-by-day thing, you just went through the motions. That's how I felt. I mean, you know, people were dedicated and they did their job, but we weren't unified. Just like unity worship. I'm not going there because I don't like the band. I'm not going there because they don't have a band.
Oh.
You know, that type of... Okay, so what is needed to achieve... What do we need?
Other than the obvious of Jesus...
I mean, that's the whole thing that pulls us together. That was mentioned the other night at one of the Unity prayer things, was that regardless of what's going on in our lives, we still have the Lord. He's the cement that holds us together. And we have issues as humans, but he's the cement. You got to have a willing heart.
Let's say humbleness, where you're decreasing and he's increasing.
Yeah.
I think honesty and being real, like really talking about each other, is kind of like the theme I've been put on my heart, is let's be real. Let's talk about differences. Let's talk about how you're feeling, your struggles, your accomplishments through Christ. That's really what brings the realness to it. Right now we got a problem in this country where we don't like to do that because people look at you different or they treat you different and stuff like that. So that holds back a lot of harmony because there's so much stuff and people want to be quiet and they don't want to rock the boat or say something that nobody really likes or stuff like that.
Well, Brian and I have a thing, we'll be out at the restaurant or something, or we'll be talking to people who we're delivering aid to and say, how you doing? And then you don't really wait for an answer. Hey, how's it going, man? I gotta get moving here, I mean, like, you don't have to open up and say, well, this is what happened and that happened and this. I mean, you can, depending on the time and the people and the setting and all that. But too often, say, hey, how's it going, Ryan? But you're not really interested. That's just greeting, you know.
Yeah. You don't want to hear how they're doing, really.
Right.
Hoping they just say fine and walk away.
Yeah. So I think one of the things we talked about was that when you ask, you wait for an answer. Mm-hmm. How's it going, Mom? And wait, you know. So openness, honesty.
Respect.
Excuse me?
Respect.
Respect. Mm-hmm. Awesome, yep.
Love.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more about that later, but yeah, love, definitely. I mean, putting that above anything else, love. Having a heart for the people. When you ask us, you really want to know. Speaking the truth in love. We've talked a lot about that in this book. Speaking the truth in love. Do you have something?
I said you need a playbook.
You need a playbook.
That's true.
Very good. I could go on about that, but I won't. So the next question would be, what can prevent harmony, unity, and teamwork from becoming a reality? What can prevent it? It kind of goes along with, you know, what it doesn't mean to, you know, there are things that can prevent the harmony from taking place.
Pride
is probably the top. My personalities. And, you know, I have a problem with that person because they have a personality. I can always remember the boys, when they play ball, people would say, how come they're not more enthusiastic? It's not their personality. Are they doing the job for you? Yes, they are. They're all stars or whatever. That's what we're looking for, not necessarily who's making the most noise. Spiritual and political differences can create disharmony. I had a lot of that in the public school, especially political.
Selfishness.
It's all about me. Unforgiveness. Probably this is the key, is you're not in tune with the Spirit of God. You're doing your own thing. Unforgiveness, bitterness, you could go on, you know, the list of what can separate us from being in harmony.
I heard someone say
yeah.
Fear.
Yeah. Fear. Oh, yeah. Please make me brave, you know.
How about envy?
Envy. Ooh. Jealousy. Oh, all those things. A lot of what I'm, you know, what we're talking about, what I'm going to continue to talk about, you know, Malcolm and Reggie have shared, you know, up here too about this. And so it's kind of a review, maybe with some different takes or different little stories or whatever. But it's a topic that I think is critical for the church, that, you know, we need to have a heart change and therefore experience a spiritual revival. It's not going to happen until that happens. The church is the focus today, but you could substitute the family, the military, the government, businesses, hospitals, schools, colleges, athletic teams, and so forth. There are people in this room right now who have owned or own multi-million dollar businesses. They've been involved in the military. They've been involved in, you know, companies, whatever it may be. And they know that in order to function, you've got to have some harmony. Now, Chris, in your business, you can't have all well with this, right? I mean, you've got to have a bunch of different people, and you've got to have people buying into your vision, buying into your mission, buying into your goal. Otherwise, the company's going to fail. You know, you have your leaders, you have your superintendents, you have your CEOs, you have the owners. They put together a team through hiring, screening, firing, training, drafting, and interviews. They're looking for the right people with the right skills, the right personalities, and the right mindset to help them achieve whatever their goal is. Then you have administrative people. You have the principals, the managers, the supervisors, the coaches, the overseers. Then you've got the workers, the clubhouse guys, the custodians, the bus drivers, whatever else you have in your company that you need to function. Now, as an example, last spring, Dean and Nathaniel and I went on a baseball trip. And we couldn't go see the White Sox play because they were on another trip, although we did see them later in another town. But we did have a tour of the U.S. Cellular Field, where the White Sox play. It used to be Comiskey Park, and they tore it down, and they built this new the state-of-the-art field. And the tour guide was telling us that in addition to all the people involved with baseball operations, that includes, you know, the general manager and the owners and the coaches and players and the minor league system and everything, scouting and all that, on game day, they have to hire 3,000 extra people to man the hot dog stand, ticket takers, field maintenance people, ushers, cleanup crew, on and on and on. 3,000 people. Now that just doesn't happen. It has to, there's a process. And someone has to coordinate all of that, and all have to buy into what their responsibilities are and follow through, and someone has to oversee it. So, in simple terms, one must build a top quality team covering all your bases, having everything in the right place with the right people, and people you can depend on to work with and for you to be successful. And successful can be whatever you want that to be, making money, whatever it may be. Many companies hire or have on staff human relations, people and programs who work with people to make the company the best it can be. John has some experience doing that. You go in and you work with the people. How can you work together better, function better, to make whatever your product is better? And I'm sorry, but I find public education never did that. We never had anything like that. We just battled our way through, and you know, we're mad at people. I didn't want to talk to people. I didn't want to work to people. I had a guy in my own department, you know, one of these, who wouldn't talk to his coworker. They had a fight about something. And so how can you teach people, young people, if you can't, you get along with the people you're working with? Is church any different than business? No, not really, except the spiritual part that's there, even though it should be there, the business part too. You have to have a whole bunch of, you have a whole bunch of imperfect people. Here we have a whole bunch of imperfect people from different places, ages, sizes, experiences, opinions, personalities, and gifts. Hopefully learning to grow and mature in their faith, working on dealing with and eliminating their sins and winning souls, not games. This is where the scriptures that were read earlier fit in. Now, we haven't really talked about gifts specifically right now, but all kinds of people with all kinds of different gifts are here in this room right now. And yet oftentimes there is more stress and strife and less hut in the church than in the world. I used to come from school, not here necessarily, but before, I used to come from church and go to, I mean from school and go to church and be more stressed out because of stuff that was going on. Where do you find relief? I know you find relief in Christ. But Christ has people around you too to help with that process. So church was more stressful than teaching junior high school kids in physical education was. So there are reasons for that that I want to discuss and share with you, and eventually we may be able to identify the problems, address them, learn how to develop hot, and reverse the trend. Now this may seem a little odd in church, but I like to get away sometimes from the world and just read Westerns. Bob and I have a common denominator here. And this is a little more called Down the Long Hills. Okay? And I'm reading this the other day and I'm going like, oh, this is gonna fit perfect. I won't go into the story, but this is what's going on. When folks live together in a town, they have more time, I wish, time to sit and talk, I wish, to listen to music playing or to dance. But men can't do this unless they divide the work. And in a town, everybody shares. One man builds, another does the smithing. One teaches, one preaches, and another runs a store. When a man can settle down to do what he does best, he's happier. And his work is better. I guess that's where civilization began, with people getting together in a town, sharing the work, and having a chance to talk together. This is a little more. You can put that into the spiritual thing, you can put it into the church, but that's what it's all about. It's a good story, too, by the way. If you ever get a chance, you should read. Have you read that one yet, Bob?
I read all, every one of these, yeah. I believe, 112 or something like that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, now the gifts that Louie's talking about and the gifts that we've talked about up here, it's obviously more expansive than that, but they include, and Malcolm probably a month ago talked about this in great detail. I'm just going to review it quickly. But the first one is the ability to give wise advice, insight into doctrinal truth. The second one is to give a message of special knowledge, the ability to apply that truth to life. The third one is great faith, an unusual measure of trust in God beyond a normal person. Four, healing, the ability to restore health. Five, the power to perform miracles with a deliverance from various forms of diseases and or darkness. Six, prophecy, to declare a message from God to and for his people. Seven, to discern whether a message is from God or a deceptive spirit. Eight, speaking in tongues, an unknown language to God. Nine, the ability to interpret what is being said in tongues, to translate it into understandable words for those in attendance. And then 10 is helping others, including hospitality, feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, clothing the naked, and visiting those in prison. Then you have the gifts that are appointed for the church and to be used to equip God's people to do his will and build the church into maturity in the Lord. The prophet. Now, prophets are risk takers who can, through the Holy Spirit, reveal hidden things in the future. They are forth-telling, not fortune-telling. They're humble, they issue warnings, they sometimes feel alone, they should not be taken lightly, and the church needs to listen to them. The second one is apostles. Apostles help lay the foundation of the church. They establish the truth, they establish spiritual authority, and develop disciples. Now the next one is evangelists. They have a burden for lost souls. They want to change them. They want to convert them into disciples. They're appointed to preach the gospel out on the streets, in the backwoods, wherever they happen to be, where people are. And then the last one, and sometimes they split this in two, but I put it together. Pastors, teachers, overseers, elders, those are kind of like one. Sometimes they put pastors and teachers separate, but I kind of put them together. They guide, they shepherd, they have a vital and extensive value to the body and are the heart of the church. They have to make sure that the church is not only focused on the Spirit, but also on Scripture. They have to bring forth truth. They have to deal with lots of issues with people and problems within the church. And they do it normally in a non-spectacular fashion. They don't do the miraculous things. They do the behind the scenes, the quiet things that people maybe don't see. So, there they are. Think about it. Where do you fit in there? There are lots of gifts and callings out there for all of us. And since we are all so talented and gifted, the churches should function like the Patriots do and win Super Bowls every year, or at least contend for the Super Bowls. Not so. You realize the churches are formed, split, divided, destroyed, isolated, and or they function with or without unity. Unity can do all that. It can divide you, it can bring you together, it can split you, it can send you into the wilderness by yourself. And individuals, we join churches, we leave churches. We go alone. I don't need churches, I need God. I can find him in the woods. I can find him on my tractor, whatever. We church all. We're severely hurt, and oftentimes we abandon the church and the Lord based on the same issues, the same problems regarding the guests. We need to be knowledgeable and informed about the spiritual gifts because they are complex and more than often misunderstood. How's everyone doing so far? Now I'm going to make this statement, and then you can think about it. If we can't openly and honestly deal with stuff within our own biological families, you know, a husband to wife, parents to children, sibling to sibling, grandparents, you know, whatever role we play in the family, if we can't deal openly and honestly with our own biological family and the way the Lord wants us to, can we deal with the church family any differently or any better? Just something to think about. And I'm not saying that, I mean, it's not to be critical, it's just to be thinking about it. I mean, you can't deal with someone who's a biological, you know, child, or someone we married for life. We can't deal with them honestly and openly. It's going to be very difficult to deal with the people within the body when maybe we only see them on Sunday. I don't think about that. Anyone want to venture into that territory right now?
I guess it starts at home.
What's that?
It should start at home then. What you're saying
is... Yeah. I mean, I think so. That's... I mean, we have issues in our family. Everyone has issues in their family, but we need to deal with it. And, you know, sometimes it's easier for me to, like, stand up here and talk to you, maybe because I don't see you every week, than it might be to talk to my brother about God. You know? But, and I know, you know Jesus had issues in his own hometown.
But, his own family, too.
What's that?
His own family, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, think about that. Maybe that's something we can talk about a little bit later. But spiritual incapacitation, which means being deprived of or being disabled. So if we're spiritually disabled or deprived spiritually, it's extremely dangerous to the church. And so what causes the strife, stress, and conflict? Much unresolved in the church, especially when it comes to the gifts. That's the next part of my message. I'm almost done. How are we doing? All right? You want me to stop? Anybody want to stand up? Stretch? Stay. Everybody stand up.
Well, wait for you to stop.
Okay.
You have spiritual disability.
Okay. All right. Before I say anything, I want to ask you guys and girls, what causes strife, stress, and conflict within the church, based on the gifts.
Based on the gifts.
Misunderstandings.
Yeah.
Misunderstandings.
Okay. Write that down. Misunderstanding. I'm gonna talk about these in more detail in a minute. But misunderstanding. Anyone else?
As you were saying, we have to stand up for truth, and I think especially when we start to read the Bible, we come to some truths and some foundations, and we're very resistant to hearing anyone else's ideas or thoughts.
The fact
that there's thousands of denominations sort of proves it's a difficult text to get around in the Bible.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you don't have your ideas and beliefs and opinions, but I think we're very much put up the wall and say, these are my beliefs and opinions, you must be wrong.
Yeah.
Give an example.
We had a 10-day prayer. You know, we try to go every night, not necessarily both of us, but at least one of us. And we've been together a couple times. But someone made a comment that maybe people don't fit into a church because of the music or because of the preaching. And it's like, you know, I mean, if we had our way, we like church off like every Sunday and go to each one if they were spread out so we could go to each one, because everyone has something to offer. Everyone does something different, and it's like, oh, it's so cool. In fact, we made a comment the other night, think about this. I mean, this is like way out here. But so what would happen one day if we all came in here at 9:30 and Reggie or Malcolm or one of the elders said or the other elders said, okay, we're all gonna jump in our cars and we're going down to community Bible today. I bet there would be people who would sit right here and wouldn't move.
That was brought up one night at one of the 10 days of prayer.
I brought that up.
You did, but yeah. You remember Dean talking about
that? Yes, that was his vision.
And Dean's vision of, okay, maybe today we feel like going to harvest. And pastors should not be hurt by the fact that we visit around to the other churches.
Yeah. I mean, we love to do
that. In unity, because we have something to give perhaps to another church. I love that.
I think it models. That was pretty
Yeah.
It models to them, you know, like what we're talking about. We're talking about not closing each other off and, and saying that there's these different denominations and we refuse to see things their way. And someone actually mentioned to me the other day, we were at that, I always get the names of the churches now mixed up. We're, what was the
name?
Assembly of God. Word of God, Assembly of God. And we were down there, and she said to me, the reason why the churches up here, there's so many and they don't all become one, is because they all have their little differences, their little different intricacies. And can you imagine if we all got in our cars one Sunday and drove down to another church, what that would say or do? They think we're all crazy, but you can imagine, like, the, I don't know, me personally, I saw Sophia's face too, she'd be like, that was awesome. Can you imagine the love that the, that other pastor would feel if you know, Community Bibles showed up here one Sunday?
Oh, I love that.
You know, we are all believers, and we are all Christians, and we're loving on God, and we mess up on all those things that you talked about with Hutt.
Yeah.
We all mess up
on
those things, but Jesus calls us back, you know?
Well, Leo and I have been talking on Fridays. We had quite the conversations with our table, huh, Leo? And one guy, you know, was talking about, you know, it was too much scripture read at a funeral. Too much scripture. We don't do that in the Catholic Church. And I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying people are different. Yeah. He said, well, like, you have communion every Sunday. So we have communion once a month. He said, you should have it every Sunday. And, you know, there's something to be said for that. But I said, yeah, but it's the same Jesus. And I'm like, he agreed. He said, it's the same Jesus that we honor and serve. We got one over here and over there.
Yeah, I got two things I want to kind of talk about this week. I mean, that's awesome to do something like that. Unity, as far as that goes, that would be incredible, I think, as far as that goes. But there is a reason that there is different churches. And there is a purpose to that as well. There's an intimacy that happens. I think, you know, when you look at the big, huge churches down south that have thousands and thousands of people, you're not getting words from individuals on what God's telling you. So I know it's great to get fired up for, and it really excites you. It brings excitement into the whole thing and stuff, and that's great. But there is something about having smaller churches, and I think that's the intimacy that you can get from having smaller churches. The other thing that I was thinking about too was, going along with what John was talking about, is it's very difficult for us to look through somebody else's eyes. Okay? And I've talked to a couple people about this. I'm going to use politics for a second here. Okay? If you're a Republican, you think that you're biblical because Republicans typically stand against abortion and typically stand against big government and stuff like that. And, you know, there's things that you can find biblically sound with being a Republican, right? And then there's Democrats who will say that Republicans, all they care about is the rich people, and we are more for the people. We want to help the people. That's why you have government services, is to help the people. So when you're talking to them, if you're talking to them from a Republican standpoint, and you are a Republican, you're not going to be able to communicate that with them because they don't understand what you're saying. And from a Democrat standpoint, you're a Democrat and you're talking from a Democratic standpoint, you're not going to understand, the Republican isn't going to understand what you're saying. So there's a trickiness to being able to understand what the other person's mentality is towards an object. And we always have to keep that in mind, that when you're trying to talk to people, so if you're talking about God to people, you got to understand that they don't understand God. Their concept of God isn't there. So how can we communicate that? So in order to communicate that, we got to understand the person and where they're coming from, and then we can communicate that.
That's good, Reggie. Thank you. We'll be here, Joel.
It's like I look at it like. Nationalities, you know, from different countries, they can't talk to each other because, you know, they don't understand the language, but yet they do communicate with one. I mean, I've been in 17 different countries, and every time I get to one, it's like, I have no idea what they're talking about, but they make me, they help me understand what they want, or what they want me to do for them. And it's like that with the churches. A lot of people don't want to go to another church because they don't understand what they're talking about. I mean, some of the preachers, a perfect example is I was at a Baptist church in Manchester, and this guy had a doctorate, and he used it. No one understood anything he said. You know? It was like, okay, right. And then, like, Malcolm uses big words every now and then, and we're all sitting here going,
I'm looking up in the dictionary.
Right. That's some of the reasons why there are a lot of different churches, because of the fact that we're all so different.
Well, John Jordan mentioned one time, and I like Ravi's Zechariah, but sometimes he'll say stuff, and you go, I got to think about that one. You know, yeah, Raymond?
It's great to go around on the churches. I love the unity that we're having, and it's great. But the thing about having your own little church body is that we have a responsibility to love each other and look out for each other. And if you bounce around from one church to another, it's a great way to dodge your responsibility to your fellow brothers and sisters in God.
But within the church, you can do the same thing. I mean, within your own body, you can still
do that. That's why you need your own church. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is even in your own church, you can do that.
You can avoid it.
Yeah.
Can you?
It is
happening. That's okay. Yeah.
Okay, Roland, you haven't said too much.
I think the first gift that we should ask for is discernment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
absolutely.
A lot of times we end up in the wrong.
That was a big word.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go through this real quick, and then we can continue this if we have time. But in some cases, yeah, here.
Just to stay with what we're just saying. You know, there are some churches that have a particular gift, let's say, with the young people, and help with that. There's some churches that help with new believers. They can fit in better. Yeah. They can get the word better. Some churches feed you with the meat and potatoes that you need when you're more of an adult Christian. So they all have different purposes
right. To
help. And some people leave certain churches because they no longer fit in there, and they go to another church and say, oh, I'm being fed with something that I need
yeah. At
this particular time. So
we're
all
yeah.
They all have something great.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And we need to all be on the same page and say, you know, this church is not good for me because of this. No, they all have a great purpose.
Yep.
And we need them all.
Yeah.
That's why we all need the unity.
And I hope you don't think that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand it. In fact, let's just go on with this a little bit more. We've got okay, sometimes the church lacks many. Or have no gifts necessary for a healthy body and people. And usually that's a small number. But so you need to cover the missing ones. And it can also squelch the personality of someone else exercising a gift. So if you don't have all the gifts and someone has one, you can kind of get, Lord, I just ask for clarity right now as we're speaking about this stuff, and just clear my mind and calm my heart. Amen. Now, some churches have a pastor who is either expected to or is formally trained to cover all the gifts himself. We've been in that situation. The pastor did it all. He visited the sick. He did this. He healed. He preached. He played the piano. He played the guitar. He was a prayer warrior, he did it all, and guess what happened? They get burned up. And that's one good thing I like about this setup here with the elders, is they don't get burned out because they share the responsibilities and they do have different gifts. And then all the gifted people in that situation get put on committees. So the pastor does all the gifting and the gifted people get put on a committee. Three, people battle each other for positions or prestige based on power struggles, jealousy, recognition, pride, egos, and therefore end up not in the rightful place with the gifts that are self-appointed, not God-appointed. And I've seen that happen in churches. People in the body are lazy, they're unhealthy, and the other one that kind of really bugs me is that they feel unworthy that God would call them into gifting. Now, as an example, Reggie and I mean, probably in reality, are not public speakers. You know, I mean, this isn't like my comfort zone. I don't know about you. I mean, I'm glad the Lord uses me, but it's not my comfort zone, regardless of what some people may think. But there are other people in this body who can do exactly what we're doing. Sitting right here. And you may know it, but you may not want to step out. So those are things that the elders and you together have to come together on and say, hey, you know, I think I've got something maybe that I can share with the body. And we kind of can do that in this setting anyway, but I'm talking about actually getting up and speaking. Diane and I, and on occasion Rachel, have had a kind of an interesting experience at the senior meals up in Dunmore on Wednesdays. They always have, and I'm surprised it hasn't been squelched, because they always have a time of sharing before the meal, and then they ask people to pray. Well, Diane usually will pray. And the other day, I happened to walk in the door when Carrie was saying, does anyone want to pray? And I walked in the door, and she said, oh, you came at the right time, so I ended up praying. Well, I went and sat down. Like Diane, I don't think you and Rachel know this, but I was sitting next to an individual, and he said, oh, it's not to be as bad as your mother-in-law. I said, what do you mean? I said, we're praying all the time. I mean, one time I did say, aren't there other people in this room who can pray? Are there other people in this place who can pray? And like when you're in a church building, you'd like to think, it shouldn't be just, you know, this person or that. We should all be able to do it. But anyway, that's kind of a funny thing that they expect us. And the next one is frustration and impatience by those who are gifted in a specific area, and that area is not covered in the church the way they feel it should be. So you may be gifted in evangelism. You just want to go out, you're all fired up to go get people, and you know the church is more just teaching, like Gary's saying, about meat and potatoes or whatever. They just want to get down to the basics and all that. So there can be a period of frustration. We've had people that were here that left because they didn't feel like their gifts were being utilized, so they went to another church where they were. And that's okay, but I'd rather see them work it out with the leadership and be able to function within the body so that gift is covered. It would be like having a bunch of all wide receivers and no tight ends or something. I mean, you've got to have all those gifts. Comfort zone problems. They don't want anything out of the ordinary. And I'm not talking about something that's not spiritual, it's not good, but they don't want anything out of the ordinary. Let's keep it simple. We don't want anyone speaking in tongues, and we don't want anyone being slain, and we don't want anyone prophesizing. I mean, we had a person one time who every Sunday felt she had to prophesize. And every Sunday she prophesized. And eventually the leadership had to ask her, it doesn't have to happen. They had an idea that, well, if you don't prophesize and you don't get slain every Sunday, the Holy Spirit's not working. So that creates problems. So anyway, these people that are in a comfort zone, they don't want to feel uncomfortable, or they don't want to be forced to do something or to sit up and take notice of what the Lord may be doing or wanting to do in and through them. Not honoring all the gifts. We don't need to possess the gifts that seem more spectacular and miraculous, but instead we need to seek the most helpful gifts. Best of all, love, which, by the way, is strategically placed directly after 1 Corinthians 12. That's 13 is the love chapter. And in the message, the last sentence in 1 Corinthians 12, the last verse is, but now I want to lay out a far better way for you. And then it goes right into chapter 13. And like just a little bit of it says, and it goes on to say, If I have all those gifts and things but have not love, I am nothing but a rusty gate. I've gotten nowhere and I'm bankrupt. So you can have all those gifts, everything covered, and not have love, and you've got nothing. Gifted people need to mentor others, they need to encourage unity and mutual edification. And because no single gift is possessed by every member, we need to pray for balance, for people to find and exercise their God-given gift. My goodness, these gifts are designed by God to bring unity, not to tear us apart. All gifts are of equal importance. The person that's going to the prison, that's just as important as someone who's prophesizing something. In particular, the fourfold ministries of prophecy and evangelism and apostles and teachers and elders and all that, they need to take their rightful place in the church, having been proven, tested with humility and servanthood. With all in place, the growth and equipping will happen, and we will begin to move toward full maturity mode and be more effective in the purpose of the church, and that's to go out and make disciples of all people. Somehow, we need to be taught not just that we need spiritual unity in the body, but how to learn and develop it, to instill it in the hearts of all of us. I know one thing, we can make a difference in the atmosphere of a place, the church, the workplace, Walmart, wherever we go, by truly walking in and by the Spirit of God. Finally, we need harmony, unity, and teamwork within our own church, as well as locally, nationally, and throughout the world. Romans 12:16 says, let's live in harmony with each other. It's not talking about outside of the church, talking about in the body. 2 Corinthians 13:17 says, be joyful, grow in maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace, then the God of love and peace will be with you. Romans 14:19, let us aim for harmony in the church and build each other up. And then finally, Colossians 3:14, above all else, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. So, my challenge is to find, identify, and utilize your gifts to the glory of God. They are designed to complement each other, not to compete with each other. Complement, not compete. You know, I'm a quarterback, so I'm more important than the nose tackle on defense. No, you're all important. I can remember when I was at Plymouth, we had all ECAC championship track team, 3 years I was there, and you know, before and after. So we would go to practice, we'd walk in, and the practice schedule would be on the wall, and we'd do our thing, and the coach would be around, and then we'd go home. And then we'd get on the bus, and there'd be guys that would say, who are you? Well, I'm a shot putter. Who are you? I'm a quarter mile. Oh, okay, nice to meet you. I mean, we didn't even know, you know, who the other guys were, but we still won. But we didn't know each other. Everybody on the team, and I go back to football, you've got 90 people on the team. And you've got a special, like Slater, number 18, you know, he's a specialty player. He's an all-pro specialty player. All he does is kickoffs and punts. That's it. He's an all-pro player. Then you've got Tom Brady, and you've got other guys that get, you know, they get the limelight. You've got the defensive tackle, you've got the Chris's and the Joe's, you know, defensive line. Hardly hear about them. You hear about Gronkowski and Brady, and it always frustrates me. You never talk about the offensive linemen and the defensive linemen. It's always the names, the guys that make the plays. Tom Brady is an all-pro, and he'll be a Hall of Fame football player. Partly because he has, I don't know if you know about onside and offside, but his onside tackling guards specifically picked to protect him, his blindside, as he's right-handed. When he throws, he's not looking over here. They have to protect him. When they don't protect him, he's going to get hurt. He's going to get tackled. So you need everybody. Even the guys that, I mean, those guys don't get any print. You don't see headline, this guy protected Tom Brady for the 27 times he passed or whatever. We need everybody. We need all of the people. So again, the gifts are designed to complement, not to compete. And like we are specifically called to specific gifts. Others, the Holy Spirit can give, and He does work in you like for a specific purpose or a specific time. He may all of a sudden manifest, you know, like the gift of healing in a situation like a car accident or something. But normally, you know, He has a specific gift for you. Keep on seeking God's plan for your life, seeking, you know, the gifts, and you know, work with people instead of fighting against people that are different than you are. You know, we need the people in the locker room to fire people up, and we need the guys who are quiet and do the job. The final thing I wanted to say is we need to work together to make harmony, unity, and teamwork work. Through the storm, through the strife, through the stress, He is Lord of all. And Casting Crowns has a great song that kind of goes along with this.
Just think about it. You know, think about what the Lord's got for you. I mean, some of you are already exercising your gifts, and some of you have some unbelievable gifts that you're afraid to use for whatever reason. And let him show you what it is, and that helps make the church more complete. And one final thing, you know, I understand that every church has different focuses, and that's good. So if we're lacking in like a youth program, then we can go to another youth, like a church that has a youth program. You know, if someone needs mentoring because they, you know, they look like they're new and they need some milk, they might want to go somewhere else for a time to get some milk, or maybe, you know, go to a place, you know, if they're born again and they're mature or whatever, they want some more meat, they go somewhere else. That doesn't mean that they don't like one church or the other. It just means that it's a better place for them. But don't run to another church because of conflict within your own. You need to deal with that. Thank you.
Thank you for that ahead of time. We just ask for good results for this PET scan as well. We also thank you for the 10 days of prayer that Bob was saying was so special, and just a beautiful time together, and really important. It's an important spiritual battle that we're battling, and it's just such a blessing for that. We also know that there's going to be a lot of people traveling. We got Steve's family and Whitney's family and the other families, Diane, Drew, Dylan, all traveling, and other people traveling, Katie and Jeff, and we just lift them all up, and we just ask for traveling mercies for all these people. Just keep them safe, keep them protected. It's a crazy world out there, so we just lift them all up. But we have our concerns. We also want to lift up Dawn, Crystal's sister, who has cancer. She's fighting cancer still. Lainey's got her second treatment for cancer, and we just ask that you've been with her through this whole journey, and we see it. We see it. It gives us strength to see this. So we just ask you to be with her again over these next couple months, but especially tomorrow. We just love you for that. We lift up Roland today for whatever's going on in his throat. He's got these tests coming up for his throat. We ask for a good outcome from all this. And we pray that whatever's plaguing his throat right now, we pray that is healed in your name and in your love, and you have a vision for Roland, so he needs to be feeling well for whatever his role is in your kingdom. So we just love you for that. We just lift up Ben's parents today with the loss of their mother, Ben's grandmother. We just ask you to be with them and help them through this tough time. It's losing people are always tough. So all these things we just pray for. We pray for, and we know that you're answering them all the time. And we just feel so blessed that you're with us, you're listening to us, and
And we thank you for everything you're doing for this church body. In your name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Does anybody have a birthday? Do you want to have, well, we got Patrick's birthday. We sang to him last week, right? Does anybody else have a birthday this week coming up? And anniversaries, anybody with an anniversary? Yes, Roland has an anniversary.
Yeah.
Yes?
60.
60 years for Roland. Really special. Really special these days. Anybody else have an anniversary? No? Well, let's...
Wednesday.
What's that?
Ours is Wednesday. 15 years.
15. Let's just sing to these two. Worldwide.